Welcome to the Radiant Babe Podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Lynn, and I'm stoked to be here today, just sitting here with you, having some girl talk with you. It's always fun to be on here and just be able to like pour into you, because God has like definitely poured out to me, and I want to just be obedient to like what he wants me to share. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm happy that I get to share with you like what has been burning on my heart, because it's definitely been burning on God's heart. If it's on my heart, I know that it's on the Lord's heart, because he put it on my heart. I said heart so many times, but anyways, before we begin, I want to share with you guys a wholesome moment that happened this week, because I just really love starting off the podcast that way, and it's just, who doesn't love a wholesome moment? Basically, this week, it just freshly happened, you guys. My husband and I were having lunch with his parents, and of course our baby girl was there, so it was like a whole moment with like the grandparents and the baby, the toddler, you know. We're having a good time, and here comes, well, surprise, surprise, my husband Naveed's brother makes an appearance, and he just wanted to come by and say hello, but also bless our baby girl with brand new sneakers. We went to the van store, and he blessed her with a pair of sneakers. So cute, you guys. He was like, which ones do you want, the pink checkered ones or the black and white checkered slip-ons? And my daughter's so cute, she chose the pink and white ones. Of course, my girly girl, she chose the pink. But that was a really wholesome moment, and it was sweet, and it just like, to me, it was like heartwarming. And I'm like, okay, Lord, like, thank you for the sweet gifts, thank you for always providing for us, and just like the generosity of just like people who love us and love our daughter, because that's so important. Like when people like friends and family, like they not only love like you, but they love your child, and like it, or like they love your child and they love you. Like that's so important. Like you can't just like love the child without loving the parents, or loving the parents without loving the child. Like that just, no, that does not, like, not in my book. Okay. So, that was sweet. But yeah, that was a wholesome moment. And I pray that like, you know, that just like, you know, as like people give to us, like we, honestly, my husband and I, we may not have a lot to give now physically, but we always like lift people up in prayer, like thankful for them. And prayers are powerful and effective. That the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. So consider yourself blessed. If you've ever blessed us, you are blessed back, because we're praying for you. And of course we're always praying like, Lord, increase us so that we could continue to be like generous people. And yeah, just that's God's heart, like being generous. So let's now get into the topic. All right, so as you guys can tell, the title of today's episode is preparing to be the wife of a noble character. And honestly, I feel like God has like been marinating this like word on my heart for a minute now, because of like the things that I've witnessed, and how like sometimes like when I see like certain situations, like people, husband and wife, like dynamic, like just like relationships, like sometimes like I see things that are just like make my heart like ick. And then I wonder, like, you know, it kind of inspires me, and I'm just like, whoa, I need to get on and talk about this, but like obviously use wisdom on, like, because I've been on a wife that has maybe not been a wife of noble character before, and I'm gonna be just like completely honest with you. So I am, and if you're anything like me, then and you didn't come from like a Christian background, you didn't grow up Christian, you didn't have like, you know, like a model, someone to role model with you, for you, like what a wife of noble character look like, then it's honestly like just taking it day by day and like letting the Lord like show you through other women of God, through his word, through his Bible. So yeah, I think that's another reason why, like, God put it on my heart to talk about this, because, like, you know, even if you didn't grow up, like, Christian, like, we don't have, like, and you didn't have a role model, like, a wife of noble character, like we don't have an excuse, like, to not be a wife of noble character. So yeah, and honestly, even if you did grow up, like, in a Christian household, whatever, like, we all need this. We all need the word of God. None of us are perfect. And, being that Proverbs 31 woman is, like, you know, goals. Okay. So I'm going to start from Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Okay. Right there, I just want to say, like, well, I guess you can say, like, the world would show you opposite. Like, on reality TV shows, like, you see a lot of, like, people, like celebrities, like, getting married and then, like, splitting up. Like, it's so normal to just be apart from your husband and your wife and just, like, dishonoring them, and doing things to them that they just make it seem like, oh, it's so normal. So it just, like, shows you, like, the Bible goes against the world. It goes against the grain of how to actually treat your husband. Like, because, like, I feel like the world really pushes, like, even though you could be a wife, you could be a wife, but you could be a wife that's, like, dishonoring, or wife that's really mean, you know, a wife that doesn't bring good to your husband. And, I think the Lord, like, right there in those three verses, like, he wants us to bless our husband. He wants us to be a blessing to our husband. And honestly, I'll be honest with you. Like, I've fallen short before of not blessing my husband. And I've, like, out of my own, like, frustrations, like, for example, like, you know, like, if I hadn't communicated right with my husband and it was, like, building up resentment with, like, something I was keeping to myself. And, you know, I started to get irritated with him, and, like, he didn't know what was wrong, and I wasn't communicating what was on my heart, and, you know, or I was processing our little petty argument, for too long, and he was talking to me, and I couldn't, like, I wasn't even, like, responding to him, you know, it would frustrate him. So, you know, I feel like that's something that I had to unlearn. It's something that I, definitely, like, you know, the Lord had to teach me to just be a better, listener, better communicator, better team player. And there's some things that I didn't even realize that, you know, you can take into, like, your marriage if you, like, saw that, growing up with, like, your parents, or, like, whatever marriage, like, you thought in your mind. It's like it was almost like I was on autopilot where like these things would happen, and we were just, like, going in circles. You know, and I'm not saying this would happen to my husband and I, like, frequently, but I'm saying that whenever, like, little attacks did come, like, little foxes did come and we didn't catch them, that's what would happen. And, so yeah, let's go on to reading. Verse 13 says, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. And honestly, that verse, like, I never thought, like, it would strike a chord in me, but verse 15 struck a chord in me, especially when my baby girl was a newborn and I was nursing and pumping. Literally, I was full-time nursing and pumping. I was like, I was a cow, okay? And I was not getting any sleep, you guys, because every, like, 4 hours I was doing it. I was committed. I was dedicated. I just was like, this is my life now, for now, you know, in this season. And Honestly, it wasn't healthy for me because, you know, at times I was a little too crazy about it, and you know, but the Lord got me through it, and that was a verse that I held on to during the night when I felt just like so tired and I didn't want to do this anymore. And I wanted to give up. Like, God reminded me, I remember I was reading out of the Bible, and right when I read that, it said, "She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family." And I was like, wow, me right now pumping, like, in the middle of the night, even though my baby's already sleeping through the night, like, I still got up, and I still pumped, and it didn't matter, like, what time I got up, and, like, if I didn't want to get up, like, I still did it, because I knew that, like, the Lord was honoring it. And and also I'd like to say, like, when it comes to, like, even if you're not, like, even if you're not, like, a mother yet, but you're a wife or you're preparing to be a wife, like, I remember before, like, I had my daughter, our daughter, a year before, I was getting up really early with my husband, and I was preparing his breakfast, his lunch, and I was just like, whoa, this is really cool. Like, because previously, we lived with, like, we had always lived with my parents, so we didn't have our own place, and it just looked different. So when we first got our own place, like, it was like, it really felt like the Lord was actually, he was actually, showing me how to be a wife, the heart of my house, the heart of the house, and showing my husband how to be the head of the house. And it was just really sweet. So yeah. Yeah. If you're preparing to be a wife of noble character, just know that you are a servant of God, and being a wife is an honorable thing. It says in the Bible, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and we are a good thing, and we're meant to be a blessing to our husband and the best mommy ever when our baby comes. If you don't have a baby yet, if you do have a baby, when your baby is here, in Jesus' name. So verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So this Proverbs 31 woman, she can be like a businesswoman too. Like, she is smart. She's like, Lord, what do you want? Like, how do you want to use me for, like business? You know, she's smart about, like, what the Lord gives her. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. So, like, this right here is just like, it's just a reminder that, like, you know, as the heart of our home, and we take care of our home, our husband, like, we do it with joy. We do it knowing that the strength, it doesn't, sometimes we don't feel, like, strong, like, enough, and sometimes we're tired, you know, but the Lord, he literally strengthens us. He gives us strength where we are weak. He is strong, and he comes in, and he just, like, he's like, that's why you say, like, oh my gosh, wives and moms are like superheroes, you know? And sometimes I feel like the world, like, downplays that, like, being a wife and being a mom, that's just, like, you know, like, but it is an honorable thing to be a wife, and a wife with a wife of noble character, and obviously mother when, if you are one. But she sees that her trading is profitable. Verse 18, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle of her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Okay, I think that's so, like, good, because as a wife, sometimes you can, like, not even as a wife, but as a woman of God, as, like, even it, like, as we follow the Lord, like, we have, like, fears, you know, we have, like, fears can come. I'm not saying we all have fears, but I'm saying, like, fears can creep in, anxiety can creep in about the future, especially, like, when it comes to, like, Lord, are you gonna, like, provide? Are you gonna do something new? Like, what, like, you're praying for something, you're waiting for something, and, you're waiting a while, like, anxiety can creep through, fear can creep, and, like, it's just, like, this verse right here reminds us that, like, as you know, if you are a wife already, like speaking to the wives or wives to be, like we don't have to fear the future, because the future is in God's hands. And I know it's easier said than done, but like literally, like God says, like he like we can just ask the Lord, like, clothe us in strength and dignity and let us laugh at the days to come. Because like literally, like we don't have to fear, because our days are already written out. Before we were formed, God knew us. God knew what we would do beforehand. Like, he prepared us already, like, for good works to come. And yeah, I just think that that's so, like, when you get that revelation of, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I don't have to fear. Like, my life is already laid out. And we have to learn how to rely on the Lord every single day in a new way. Verse 26 says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I feel like that's very, like, straightforward, like reminding ourselves that we are women of God, we are women of noble character, like declaring that over your life, saying, I am a woman of noble character. I'm a woman who speaks wisdom. I'm a woman that with faithful instruction on my tongue. Like, whenever, like, you feel like some, like, whenever you feel like you want to snap at your husband, or whenever you feel like you want to control any situation, like your husband, or because I've been there, like, where I've wanted to say something like stupid, and stupid, forgive me, not that word, I don't like that word, stupid, where I wanted to say something foolish, and the Lord, like, had to hold my tongue back. And I've also been there where I have said foolish things and I haven't held my tongue back, and faithful instruction was not on my tongue. But that doesn't mean that, like, in that moment it changed my whole, like, identity. You know, that's my flesh, and I have to die to my flesh. I have to kill my flesh every day, and I have to be like, okay, Lord, I repent. And just help me to become this woman. And because honestly, I've said some, have you guys ever heard that meme? I'm sorry for what I said when I was hangry. And that's literally me, you guys. Like, I have done that to my husband, where I was like, I'm gonna go see if there's like chocolate left before we eat, because like I need to hold myself over. I need a little piece of chocolate. And it wasn't there, because my husband ate the last piece, and I was literally like so I was so I was so ticked off. I was like, what the heck? Where is the last piece of chocolate? And that's so petty, you guys, but like seriously, I like went at him, and I was like, you ate the last piece of chocolate, okay? You didn't leave it for me. And obviously that's foolish. It's not faith. It's not speaking with wisdom. And you know, obviously I told him, I'm sorry for what I said when I was hungry. Like, when I was hangry, I didn't mean it. All those words that I said, Lord, forgive me, for real though. And yeah, I just wanted to be real, 'cause like, you know, I am a woman of God. I am a wife of noble character. And sometimes, like, you know, we'll have our moments and we're not perfect, but we can correct ourselves and repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness, and ask the Lord to correct us in the way that we're supposed to be, like, in the way that he wants us to be a wife, you know, in a way that he wants us to be a wife of noble character, an honoring wife to our husband, a wife that blesses our husband and our children, you know, when we have children, or if we already have children. But anyways, the last verses say, she watches over her affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Yeah. Being a wife who honors her husband and is like the true heart of her home, like, it'll just leak out onto your children, basically, and like your children will even like, see how much of a blessing you are to them, and your husband will only have, like, good things to say about you. And, like, if he's gone for work, he'll just miss you, and he'll want to come home, and he'll be like, I miss you so much, you know? Like, and, like, he just wants to, like, he's just so, like, he sees you as a gift. Like, this is God's gift, like, you know? And, yeah, I always say this, like, you know, being a husband and wife is, like, so, like, I feel like being, like, when you're in a marriage, like, a covenant marriage with the Lord in the center of it, like, you know how to, you know how, like, you're instructed on how to be a wife, and even a husband. It says in the Bible here, I'm not going to go deep into detail of, like, how a husband should, how the word of God says to treat our wives and honor them, but, and love us, but, love their wives, but I'm just talking about being, like, a wife, you know, and, you know, you could find, like, my husband and I were talking about this, like, you don't have to settle for, like, any, like, if you're in, like, a waiting season of, like, dating, or, you know, you're dating people, you're trying to see, like, if they're the one or whatever, and, like, you just feel like, oh my gosh, it's not happening yet, like, I'm getting older, whatever, like, you don't have to settle for anyone, just because you might be feeling like you're getting, like, like, time is ticking here, because God's timing is so perfect, and he knows, like, he has so much, like, greater in store for us, and, like, we never have to settle for, like, and not, like, we never have to settle for what is not God's best for us. And God's best is, like, if you're looking for a wife, like, read Proverbs 31. If you're trying to be a wife, for your man of God, like, read Proverbs 31. And that's how you're going to prepare to be that wife of noble character. If you are a wife already, like, Proverbs 31 shows you how to stay walking in the ways of the Lord, how to stay, like, walking, with your character, as a woman of God, as a wife, yeah, so yeah, also I wanted to, read on, how Ephesians, I'm going to Ephesians right now, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, right here, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. So it's like, sometimes, like, we want to get catty with our husbands. and, like, that's just, like, the word of God says, like, don't even go there. Like, don't even go there and give him attitude, like, because he does so much for you, and he's there to lead you and protect you and love you and serve you in a different way. And you're just meant to, like, be a nurturing, like, when he comes home, to nurture the home, nurture the environment, and be his safe place, you know? So submit to him, unless he's, like, you know, you're in a bad relationship where, like, you know, he may be, like, physically harming you, then that's not, like, something you should be in, and, you know, if you are in that relationship. But obviously, word of God says, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So yeah, like, if that's, like, serving him and, like, cooking for him, cleaning, like, just being the best wife that we can be for him, just being, understanding his love language. Like, for instance, my husband, his love language is physical touch. He loves cuddles. And I'm so opposite, you guys. Like, I'm, like, more of words of affirmation and quality time. And his is, like, so we have to, like, understand each other's, like, needs, you know, and how we can love each other better. I remember even doing premarital counseling with our counselors, and they were just telling us, like, yeah, like, I would definitely, like, encourage you to learn your husband's, or your husband's love language and how you can serve him and love him, because it may be different for each other, and our love languages can change in different seasons. Understanding each other's love language is just a better way for us to communicate and love each other well. So yeah, ask God to prepare you to be that noble wife and ask God to show you how to be the best wife when that time comes. Like, you know, get prepared now. And oh my gosh, I can actually tell you guys, before my husband and I got married, I got saved. So like, I got saved, and then after, like, okay, this is a whole thing, like, God convicted me. We were living together and he was like convicting me of like getting married, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, him and I cannot live together anymore, we need to like get married. And obviously he wasn't like, we didn't know what else to do but like make a covenant with the Lord that we wouldn't, like, we'd abstain from, we would just be abstinent until we got married. And I didn't know when that day would be, but basically, like, we obviously, our flesh failed, and we didn't keep that promise. And we felt like we were just like horrible. We felt like, okay, we can't go back to church. Like, this is horrible. Like, everyone knows, like, which no one knew anything. We just felt convicted. Like, God knew. And we were like, this is horrible. And we just felt shame, you know, like, we felt shame, and like, we couldn't go back, step foot back in a church. But God, he's so gracious and kind. Like, we were like, okay, God, like, if we're not going back, like, I still want to like make this work with you. And by the grace of God, like, even though we didn't go back to the same church, we did make that promise again to the Lord that we wouldn't, we would remain abstinent until we got married, even though we were living together, sleeping in the same bed, everything. Like, it was like convicting, you guys. And I remember at the time, like, God is so gracious, you guys. Like, my husband Naveed, boyfriend at the time, he was working all the time. He was working at a grocery store, Sprouts, for a while, and then he met someone who did like digital marketing business, and God like aligned him with that person. He was able to do video marketing for them, like, join their team. And it was just so crazy how the Lord provided, and how he was making money that like we didn't have. Like, whereas before he was working at a grocery store, and he was working like, we were like, how is he ever gonna afford like a ring for me, you know? And at this time, he was always working really far from this, like, in another whole nother city that we lived in. And I was always like at the house, like, I worked mobile from home, and I was spending time with the Lord a lot. Like, this is when, like, I was like, okay, God, even though I'm not going to church, like, I was watching church online. I considered myself to be a part of Elevation Church. And I literally was always listening to Pastor Stephen Furtick's messages at the time, and I was taking notes. I was listening to Sarah Jakes Roberts. I was learning from a lot of pastors at the time, and leaders, online leaders, Craig Rochelle, like, just different pastors and leaders, and learning the Word of God, and literally reading the Word of God every day. Because before we left the other church, our pastor had blessed us with like actual Bibles, not the New Believer Bibles that people, like, the church gives you when you get saved, but an actual Bibles for me and my boyfriend at the time, and Bible translations. Okay, we were blessed with that. Like, we were that close to the pastors, and because they were, you know, they were our friends. One of them was my coworker before, you know, prior. But anyways, so yeah, I was literally like spending time with God alone every single day, like in his word, like just literally learning the Word of God, and like he was highlighting, like, his word was coming to life for me, you guys. I've never read the Bible before, but I was like being transformed by his word, you guys. Like, just like, whoa, having revelation. I remember my first revelation was in Genesis 50:20, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, to save many people alive today. And I was just like, poof, like my mind was just blown. And I just knew that God had a purpose for my life and all the trauma that I ever went through. Anyways, that's a whole nother story, but it does tie into like me being in obscurity. I was in a hidden season. I was in a season where my husband was working a lot and God was working in my prayers. My boyfriend was working a lot and God was working in my prayers. Although we weren't seeing each other often, God was moving, and he was moving in my boyfriend's heart. And I was also going to like, I also visited, like, I remember visiting one church, like, one weekend with someone I had, like, a girl I just met, and, like, I asked for prayer, and this man, he, like, prayed for me, and this man, a brother in Christ, I didn't even know him, he prayed for me, and he was an older brother in Christ, and he prophesied, like, over me, and he was just like, Victoria, your name, he was just laughing, he's like, your name means victorious, and I was like, whoa, like, in my head, like, I just was, like, being encountered by the love of God, like, every single day, reading the word, and God was preparing me to be a wife, you guys, like, he was literally, like, healing places that I didn't know I needed healing, and he was just, like, softening me, and, I was becoming a friend of God, and, like, next thing you know, we join a church, that we found on Instagram through a mutual friend. It was a mobile church, and they had just started from the backyard to, they started as, you know, in the house, and then like Bible study, and then outdoors in the backyard, like once a month gathering. And then they moved to a community center once a month, and then every week, and then after that they moved to like a junior high building, and then they finally got their building. But yeah, it's crazy how like we met these pastors are through Instagram, and we were like, we want to help this mobile church that's just growing, this planted church that's just growing, and we wanted to help this church grow. And we've never been a part of ministry ever like that in our lives. So we had no clue what we were doing. But even just meeting the pastors, like the pastor and his wife, like he said to us, like, you know, if I was just meant to meet you guys, to marry you guys, then I did my job. Like I did what God called me to do. So it was just so divine. So it was so divine how like it happened, you know, because even like as I... you know, as I asked for prayer at that other church, like, you know, prayer for Navita and I to get married, like, it was like, boom, boom, boom. It was like accelerating. God was accelerating it. Like, he would bring people to us like crazy. We'd be studying the word and like, at a park, and, you know, two hikers came up to us and shared the gospel with us. And then they asked us if we were married and like, you know, started, talking to us about marriage and all that. Premarital counseling, and then also like just God sending people our way to like tell us to get right with him. So when we met these pastors on Instagram, it was just so like it happened all so quickly, because when we started when they agreed to premarital counseling with us, we went to our first premarital counseling with them, and then literally that weekend Navid asked me to be his wife. He proposed to me at our favorite beach, and then a week later we eloped, and it was all God. But and then after that, like God just kept elevating us. Like it was just the craziest thing. It was like radical obedience, and then he just kept elevating us at our church. It was Coin Church. And then, you know, the Lord called us out to another church, and then, yeah, like, that's a whole nother story. But, I just wanted to say, like, yeah, through the whole, like, waiting preparation of being, like, finally marrying my husband, like, God was preparing me. He was preparing my character. He was preparing my heart. He was literally softening my heart. He was softening just, like, I was already a sweetheart, but like he was actually giving me his heart and how to love my husband as myself. He was showing us how to love one another, as he first loved us. And he was showing us, like, yeah, he was just showing us what it looks like to be a man and woman of God in walking in dominion as husband and wife, and him in the center. So yeah, like a God-honoring marriage. He was just showing us that, because that is totally, completely different than when you're living in the world and you don't have the Lord in the center, and you're just like, yeah, I'm getting married to the love of my life. But like, when you don't have the Lord in the center, like, honestly, doing life without the Lord is hard, okay? I've done it. I did it for like 23 years, 24 years of my life without living with the Lord, in, you know, going before me and allowing, like, being fully surrendered to him. So I could only imagine, like, how it is, like, God bless the people, you know, who are married without, like, the Lord in the center of their marriage, because God could do anything. But, like, when you don't have him, it's crazy, you guys. Like, life is already, like, there's challenges, you know? And when we do things on our own strength, like, and we are trying to, like, fix another person, or we're just frustrated with another person, or there's just, there's things that God needs to work on, and he can only do it, like, he can only, like, there could only be, like, a peaceful, loving, joyful marriage, like, with the Lord in the center of it and leading it. So, like, the Lord leading your family, and the Lord leading, and the Lord being in the center, so that, like, so that he, like, you know, the man and the woman are, like, honoring each other. God honoring. I hope that today's message encouraged you, that I got my point across, okay? And I pray that you become a wife of noble character. And yeah, thank you so much for listening, and I love you so much. If you like this podcast, make sure you like it wherever, and rate and review it wherever you listen to it. I will see you, and I'll catch you in my next podcast episode. Peace.